this is a little leftover of the morning session, and I have the pleasure to introduce Bo Chen and Bo Prime Chen. So I call them the doppelgangers. It's really doesn't happen very often, I think, in the history of the universe. So the first one is on quantitative convergence analysis and iterative classification schemes. Bo Chen from my lab.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank the organizers, Clint and Bridget, for giving me this great opportunity to present to this high-end audience. I'm learning a lot from this workshop, including the word high-end. I know some of you are having a foot trauma, so I'll keep my story short and simple. It started with a lazy graduate student who doesn't want to work on the weekends, but wants to appear to be working on the weekends. So when it came to the 3D classification using Relion, instead of running for 25 iterations, which is the default value, he scrolled the bar to the very end and ran it for 50 iterations and then went partying. The next Monday when he came back, he realized another problem. There are 50 iterations and 4 classes per iteration. So that's 200 reconstructions to check. Again, he is lazy. So he worked together with a postdoc to come up with some codes to help them decide which iteration to check and which classes may have similar reconstructions. And that's my story about the quantitative analysis in iterative classification scheme using in a CrowEM dataset. As we all know, the heterogeneity in CrowEM data, in our case, in FrankLab, we study the ribosome complexes using CrowEM and single particle reconstruction. The heterogeneity in our case include the compositional ones, such as the presence or absence of tRNAs and translation factors of interest, and the conformational ones, such as the global conformational change of ribosome complex termed as ratchet-like intersubunit rotation. To address the heterogeneity problem, many people have used different approaches. And here I want to provide some food for thoughts in an iterative classification scheme and try to address these questions. How many classes shall we start with, which Paula asked yesterday, and when to stop? This example I will show you is using a CrowEM dataset of the 70S ribosome complex containing 2 tRNAs and a new translation factor, which we call ETTA. This dataset is collected on F20 microscope at 200 kV using CCD camera at 2.7 angstrom pixel size. We collected about 109,000 particles, and using spider refinement got a reconstruction at about 8 angstrom resolution. It's shown here. The red one is the translation factor we are interested in and has a fairly strong density comparable to the ribosomal proteins. The 2 tRNAs, colored in pink and green, they have weaker density than the ribosomal RNAs. And this tells us that this data set is heterogeneous. So we use rely on 3D classification to address this question. And we're to demonstrate, we are just using an example of a subset of 21,000 particles from the total data set. I think we're all familiar with the Relion workflow from Shor's talk yesterday, which is outside this blue box in the transparent box. So what we do here is that we write some codes in this blue box, which can help us decide the iteration of convergence and which classes to combine together. And in my talk, I'll refer to this concept of max prob heavily, so I hope I understand it right. If not, please correct me. The maximum probability for each experiment particle is calculated in this way, as I understand. So this one particle is compared to the reference volume in every class, in every discrete projection angle, and within a 2D translation search range. And then this probability is calculated based on the assumption that the signal is independent and Gaussian distributed. And then within this high dimension probability matrix, all the values are normalized so that they sum up to 1. Then within this matrix, the highest value is assigned as the max prob, and the corresponding class is assigned to this particle as the particle's class assignment. So that, is that right? Okay. Okay. Sorry to interrupt your sleep.
It's written out as the particle assignment. What's really happening in the refinement is a continuous assignment, but it's
okay.
Apparent to you as the most probable class.
Most probable class, yeah. Okay. So the following analysis will be based on this most probable class assignment. I'll still call that a class assignment, okay. So in this graph, what we want to do is to represent the trend of this max prob value for each class. We're using the average value of max prob for every class. As we can see that in this curve, class 1, 2, and 4, they have pretty high mean of max prob values, whereas class 2 is gradually growing. We want to use this as a measure of whether a particle is confident with its class assignment or not. As we can see, class 1, 2, and 1, 3, and 4, they're pretty confident, but class 2 is not so much. And there can be a number of reasons for this. For example, poor quality of particles or reconstructions. We'll save this question and move on first. And by the way, one can also use the median or the mode value to have a better idea of the distribution of the max prob for each particles. So to determine the iteration of convergence, we calculate the change of this max prob value over the iterations. And one could also use other indicators, such as the change in class assignment or in projection angles, as to determine when the iterative classification converges. In our case, we determine that the iteration of convergence is 27 by specifying the percentage change of the mean of max prob to be 8% in 5 consecutive iterations. And then to show you that the iterations beyond 27 is not a waste of time, we did this following analysis to help us predict which classes may have similar reconstructions. This diagram is the number of particles per class versus the iteration. We can see that class 1, which is in blue, and class 3 in red, they have pretty much anti-correlated behavior. That suggests that there may be some commuting particles between these two classes. And then there are some classes quite stable. For example, class 4, it's almost a flat. then to describe this trend more clearly, we use this particle experience diagram, just using this region for the iterations after convergence. The idea is that, for example, we have one particle assigned to class 1 at iteration 27. And then from iteration 27 until the end, this particle has been assigned to class 1 for 9 times, class 3 for 11 times, and class 2 for 3 times. And then we add up this value here. And then we sum up all the particles for every class at iteration assigned to class to iteration 27. Then in this diagram, it's pretty clear that there are some particles commuting between class 1 and class 3. So based on this diagram, we can see that we may predict that class 1 and class 3 may have similar reconstructions. On the other hand, say a class like class 4, the particles are pretty stable. This may indicate that the reconstruction is different from the other classes. And indeed, this is the case when we examine the reconstructions. Class 4 is a ribosomal large subunit. It's distinct from the other three classes, which are the whole ribosome complex. And then class 1 and class 3, they are similar in the sense that they both contain this translation factor, which we call EDTA and two tRNAs. But class 2, which has fewer particles and poorer quality, contains only this translation factor, but very weak density of the tRNAs. So we are pretty happy to see that these two approaches match each other so that we can be quite confident to merge this class 1 and class 3 together and then draw this new diagram showing that the three distinguishable classes. I should make a note here that this classification may be stuck in local in local minimum, so restarts are necessary. And indeed, we did several restarts, but here we're just showing one case. Last but not least, to show you that it is okay to play with this iterative classification even beyond convergence, I'll show you the computational cost. As we can see, the memory usage increases as the iteration goes. This is specifically for the case using Relion 3D classification. More importantly is the computational time cost. What we see here is that for Relion 3D classification, most of the computational time is at the first few iterations. For example, here we could see that the first five iterations accounts for almost 75% of the total computational time if we were to stop the classification at iteration 25. So the bottom line would be, if you have already waited for 1 week for classification, why not just wait for another day and get some statistics to help you simplify your life? Here, the green curve is a scale up using the total particle data set for this classification. And I'm not sure that this scalability is linear or to some function. Maybe Shores could address this question better. To summarize, in the classification of a heterogeneous cryo-EM data by an iterative approach, we can start with more classes than the biologists expect. The biologist is me, by the way. And then we can run this iteratively for enough number of iterations, even beyond convergence. Then later on, we can regroup these classes based on the particle statistics after convergence and by comparing the reconstructions. And we can repeat this process on each regrouped class until they are all homogeneous. With this, I would like to thank Joachim for all his support and advice and for allowing me to play with a cluster like this. And Dr. Bingxin Shen in FrankLab did all the coding and implementation in MATLAB. And we'd also like to thank Shores for providing us this reliable classification tool. And thank you for your attention.